It is that time of the weekend for the Home Improvement Show. Sitting in front of me is the one, the only, Walter Assey, president of Renovco. I'm Joanne Brackus. We are taking your calls and your text messages. The text line works again this week. Yay, hurrah. 514-790-0800. You can reach us by phone. If you do want to text us, reminder, leave your name so we know who we're talking to. Walter, how are you?
I am doing great. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great. You look rested and happy and ready for the holidays, although I don't know that you ever actually take off. Do you take off?
Well, I mean, technically you don't take off because you have all these emergencies and you know, what have you, but I am rested.
You're rested.
Yeah.
You look refreshed.
I do.
514.
Don't let the looks fool you.
He's refreshed. He's ready to go. 514-790-0800. Walter Assey again, taking all of your questions, your home renovation questions, your projects. I know a lot of you will be heading out of town on holidays. We're going to do a quick refresher about the things you need to look at in your house before you leave it in these cold temperatures. That's coming up in just a bit. But you did, Walter, you came in here and you said, I had a dinner last night with a friend from New York, and we've been talking a lot about radon on this show, right? We had that guest from Health Canada.
That's correct, yeah.
And what something interesting you were talking about.
Yeah, so, I mean, we were talking about, first of all, this threshold in New York for what's acceptable as far as radon gas readings is 145 becquerels versus Health Canada guidelines here. It's 200 becquerels. So that's actually something to think about.
That's as far, a gap. I mean, that's a big gap.
It's a big gap. It's 25% more. You know, according to a research that one of our listeners did a while back, he had a PhD in chemistry, and he wrote me a very, very long email. His research, he had a PhD in chemistry, so he did all of these things. It's a bit complicated. I'm not going to go over it. But his research took him to 70 becquerels. He goes, anything above that should not be acceptable.
70?
70.
Wow.
So it's a discussion to be had. I mean, it's because it's newer, if you wish, or newer, there's a newer awareness. The studies are not that mature yet. It's an ongoing thing that we have to keep monitoring. But more importantly, the friends from New York, she's a real estate agent there, and she mentioned that every home that she sells, the inspectors or the homeowners that are doing the offer, they ask for an inspection for radon.
So it's like standard now. It's not like, mandatory, but it's standard.
I don't know if it's mandatory there, but I know it's a standard process. Mm. Everybody asks for it. Whereas here, I've never seen an inspection where the inspector asked for radon, or even the people that are putting the offer ask for radon.
I'm trying to think back to like when we're buying houses. I feel like the inspector comes in, you check the foundation. Asbestos is a big question, but I don't recall that conversation.
No. I find that the awareness here, even with the homeowners that we deal with on a regular basis, very rarely we have that discussion. And you know, even when you bring it up, they look at you and you need to explain for them what radon is. So it was just a bit of an eye opener in the sense that, okay, you know, the awareness here, and Health Canada was right when we had a discussion with them initially, and you know, they were pushing for that, for this interview, is because there is a big lack of awareness.
Well, it's interesting because if the campaign is to give the awareness from Health Canada, but the difference is the difference in what's safe and what's not safe is huge.
You know, I mean, at this point, it becomes a personal
choice.
You could opt to do the remediation for radon regardless of what the readings are. You know, it's going to also boil down to what kind of testing you do.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that because there was a system, right? People can buy something to check it before they get someone else involved. Can you remind?
So, I mean, there's many different ways. Like in my discussion yesterday with our friends, what they do is, because it's an inspection for buying a home, they do a 48-hour test. Mm. Now, I don't recommend that because that doesn't give you the real values A good test usually is 3 months, and it's preferable done in the winter months where there's no ventilation, there's no fresh air coming from the outside. It's a puck that you put it, we call it the puck test because it looks like a hockey puck, and then you send it to a lab and then you get the results back. That will be the most accurate test. There are monitors you can buy, and they give you real-life testing as well. But, you know, if you want to really make sure, I would start with the hockey puck test. It's a cheaper way to get the test.
Mm-hmm.
And I would do it in the lowest living place in the basement.
Basement.
In your home.
The lowest spot in the basement.
Yeah.
And how much are these things? Are they expensive?
I mean, look, they range from $100 to $250.
Okay. And let's say it has the bad read. Like, I just want to remind us, it's not something that you as a homeowner can fix. You need to get professionals in.
That is correct. So you need to have a radon remediation specialist. And what they do in essence is they dig a hole and they do they remove the radon concentration from underneath your slab.
They let it out?
Yeah, so it's like a fan that they install. It exhausts out with a pipe to the outside that just sucks the radon out and kind of remove that buildup of radon underneath.
Interesting. 514-790-0800. That is the number to reach Walter Assey, president of Renovco. He is taking your home improvement questions as well. Same number, 514-790-0800 for the text line. Leave us your name if you are texting us. There was some talk on that. There was some chatter on the text line earlier about people going away for the holidays. Sometimes it's just a weekend. Sometimes you're just taking a quick trip, 2-3 days, and you don't think of checking the house. My biggest fear is a burst pipe, but there are certain things that you need to, because the temperatures are dropping right now. So before you go anywhere, even if it's for one night, what should we be thinking about?
I mean, looking at the temperature is number one. You're absolutely right. And when you are in the minus 20 zone for many days specifically, frozen pipes become very possible.
So you're leaving them on? What are you doing? Dropping?
Well, I mean, if you're leaving for several days, I always recommend shutting the water off.
Completely. That's
completely. Draining the pipes. That will be really the safest, if you wish, option. And make sure that you have someone checking your house every 24 hours.
But if you don't have that person?
If you don't have that person, you might have an insurance issue.
Oh, boy.
So you need to call your insurance and have a discussion with your insurance broker. Have a discussion with them.
You really, if you don't have that person, the insurance will be like, it was up to you to have someone check on the house?
Well, that's absolutely right. In certain cases, they tell you every 48 hours. So you have to have that call with the insurance broker and have things in writing as well, just to protect yourself, because they could tell you that we're not covering you because nobody was checking the house for X amount of days.
Wow.
So that's very important. Home sitting is very important.
So home sitting, if you're gone for long, shut the water off completely and drain the pipe.
Correct.
Anything else we need to keep in mind?
I mean, make sure that obviously the obvious things is make sure there's no windows are open and that you don't have any issues of water ingress in general. The water is your biggest fear factor as far as leaving the house as a burst pipe. That's really where, things could go.
Can I ask you, because I've seen, it's never, knock on wood, happened in our houses, but what is the aftermath? The pipe bursts and then you have to redo everything? What happens?
Well, I mean, if when the pipe bursts, the issue is, most people think the pipe will burst when it's cold. Actually, it starts bursting when it gets mild after the deep freeze.
Wow.
So if it's like minus 20 for many days, the day that things are starting to thaw and you have that, warmth where the pipe starts melting and the expansion happens, that's when the pipe bursts.
Now, so it's the fluctuation.
That's correct. And now when the pipe bursts, I mean, it's water that keeps on coming in until you shut off the valve. So if you are out of town for 2-3 days, you're going to come into a very nasty surprise.
And that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. Having said that, that's why I'm saying have someone check on the house, but also have someone document the fact that they checked on the house. Example, an alarm log.
Mm.
You put on the alarm, you put off the alarm. So in case someone challenges a fact, like you're coming back, you make a claim, you're all tanned, the adjuster is going to see your tan, they're going to look at you and they're going to say, you know what?
No. So you have to have
you
proof.
Were not in town. What's your proof? And you're going to say, oh, well, my sister was checking on the house. Okay, can you have proof? Now, you know, so document either... have someone take a video every day.
Text message exchange, something that can be timestamped.
Exactly. I checked your home. Everything is good. You know, today is Monday, it's Tuesday, whatever. Take a small video. Anything that could be used as a backup in case something happens.
You don't want to be fighting with the insurance companies. Okay, listen, 514-790-0800. That is the call line. The text line as well. We have some text to get to in just a little bit. 514-790-0800. Call us or text us for your questions, your home improvement needs for Walter Assey, who is the president of Renovco. And we have Norman on the line. Norman, who's been waiting patiently. He's got a question about a septic tank. Norman, can you hear us? Norman?
Hello.
Hi, take it away, Norman.
Thank you very much. Walter, could you be so kind as to tell me when they empty a septic tank, are they supposed to refilter it and send it back into the septic tank so that there's liquid and that it doesn't cave in?
What kind of a septic tank do you have?
A metal septic tank.
A metal septic tank, okay. So typically the answer is no. They don't refilter it unless you ask them for it per se. But why are you asking me this? Do you have any issues with your septic tank?
Well, apparently, every time that I have had it done for the past 50 years, they've always filtered. But all of a sudden, yesterday, I even had to tell them, would you mind putting the suction hose that you have on the line so that it clears the line from the toilet to the septic tank to make sure that it's clear? And he uncovered it and then put the hose to it to drain the main hose line, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
And he did not filter the water to send it back into the septic tank as they've done for the past 50 years.
Okay. So, I mean, usually you're talking about the filter cartridge of the septic tank, right? Is that what you're referring to now?
Well, it's an oval metal tank that holds 200 gallons or 400 gallons. They've always emptied it totally and filtered the water inside their vehicle and refilled it with clean water or whatever, I don't know.
Okay, so we're talking about two different things. Okay, I was talking about the filter cartridge inside because, I mean, that's typically when you do that, you're holding the filter over the open port of the septic tank, you lightly spray the cartridge tubes with like a hose to remove the material sticking to them and you put them back. That's what I was referring to. You're referring back to filtering back the water and putting it back in the tank, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, but I don't understand how did they just emptied it and left? Is that what you're saying?
They put the cover back on and away they went.
Okay. And have you tried to call back the company to see,
to make a complaint? Before calling back or whatever, I figured I'd ask someone that is familiar with the RBQ rules or whatever, whether it's supposed to be filtered and put back into the tank. This is why I want information before confronting the company.
Okay, so what I would do is I would definitely call them back to, because this is, you've been doing the same thing for the last 50 years and all of a sudden you're saying they didn't do what they have to do. So I would definitely call back and you know, have it at least lodged in writing that this happened. So if you do have a problem, at least, you know, you're protected. And I would do that as fast as possible. Was that done through the city? Or because some municipalities...
It was done by Fosse Septic Company.
Okay, but my question is, a lot of municipalities pay for the service, so they hire those companies.
I pay myself.
Okay, so then definitely you need to have a direct link with them, and you're going to be sending them an email and then following it up with a call.
I don't have a computer, so therefore I guess the best thing for me to do is stop by their office.
Yeah, but have something done in writing somehow, like whether it's through
a
registered letter.
Bill,
yeah.
And I can't find the damn thing. And that was done yesterday. I looked in all my pockets. I don't know where in the dickens I put it.
That, they will give you a copy. I'm sure that you can ask for a copy of the bill, so that's not a problem. But I would do the, I would do that follow-up as fast as possible.
I hope that helps you out.
Thank you so very, very much, Walter. And I wish you and all CJD listeners a very merry holiday and a safe one.
Oh, you too.
Thank
take,
you so much.
Take care. We have another call. We're going to get to it in just a second. There's a text message coming in from Gino. Walter, it says, good morning. I have a condo built in 2016 with an electric forced air system and an Ecobee thermostat with a separate control for the HRV. The set point temp is 18, but fluctuates from 18 to 16.5. I suspect the setting on the fan that allows the fresh air in is lowering the temperature because of the cold air. Is there a possibility to shut off this feature? I know it's a feature of the HRV function, he writes, but it's not great in the Canadian winter. This comes to you from Gino.
So if you have an HRV, it is a heat recovery system. So technically, it's supposed to heat the air that's bringing it, that is coming back in. What I would do instead of playing with the function, I would play with the speed of the fan. So, you know, you might need to lower the speed of the fan, and that should help in the whole process before you actually remove that function altogether.
Okay, I hope that helps you out. Gino, I have another text line here. Should you flush your water tank every year? I heard mixed opinions on this issue.
You should.
Why?
You should. I mean, it is a way to conserve the life of your water heater. Don't forget, there's also hardness in the water. There's buildup that happens, calcare and everything else. So that's one way of getting rid of it. So once a year, depending on the hardness of the water in your area, that will also give you a better answer. But the general recommendation is once a year.
Perfect. We have a call coming in from, am I getting this right, Dario? Lidio, who has the thermopup attached to the wall. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Take it away.
Good morning. So we want to install a,
No problem.
We want to install a thermopump.
Yeah.
We have a split level house, so when you look at the from the outside at the wall and the side, the foundation concrete comes above the ground, I would say 3-4 feet height.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there are two options: to install the thermopump attached to the concrete wall, or install it on a base. I'd rather go with a base because there are two things that worry me: the vibration, number one, and number two, the noise, because they want to attach it right where the bedroom is. And I'm thinking if it's attached to the wall, the sound, you can hear it. I don't know the word, propagates. It goes through the wall, and you can hear the noise louder than if the thermopump is on a concrete base and not attached to the house.
Okay, so what is your question, Lydia?
Oh, the question is, should I go with the concrete base or have it attached to the concrete wall?
So as far as noise is concerned, typically these are quieter, so they're quieter heat pumps. I don't see it as a big problem one way or the other, if that's your only worry. Obviously, if you're going to install it at a base, the idea is it has to be a level base. So a concrete base is a concrete pad is good as long as it's leveled. You can even go with a paver's pad as long as it's leveled. It doesn't have to be in concrete necessarily. Both of them work. These are typically smaller heat pumps, so there's not as much vibrations. That's pretty much what I can tell you. One way or the other, it doesn't make a difference. If you feel more comfortable with a concrete base, all what you have to be mindful of is that it's nice and level, and that's the end of that story.
If the concrete base, like winter, summer, is that a problem for the thermopump?
Absolutely not. If it's adequately prepared, it becomes like a walkway or anything else. It will last, you know, as long as you do it properly. And again, we say concrete, but it could also be pavers. It might be easier for you and faster to do it in pavers. Again, as long as you compact nicely and you have it nice and leveled. The other conversation you might have with the installer are the different options with the different decibels of the heat pump, because there are quieter heat pump, and you can have that discussion about different brands if noise is what's worrying you the most.
Lidiu, thank you so much for that call. 514-790-0800. Continue sending us those calls and those text messages. Walter Essie is here, president of Runoffco. This is the Home Improvement Show. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show. We want to hear from you always. 514-790-0800 is the phone number. Also, the text line. I will say, by the way, that there are a lot of great text messages coming in, but some of them are quite chunky and hefty with information. So maybe better to call.
I agree. I mean, it is better because obviously, if you're going to read it, it's going to take half of the show.
Yeah. Well, one of them in particular, and I love you all for sending these text messages, but Lynn in particular, Lynn, if you are listening, call us 514-790-0800. We'll take the call. We'll have a conversation with you because it's a very interesting pickle you're in, but probably best explained to Walter over a phone call. But there is a text message here that I think that you can answer, hopefully. Mm. Somebody writes and says, switched from oil to electric heating last November. Mm-hmm. So November 2023. This week, the heat pump was covered with ice. The contract was with Home Depot and had a 10-year parts and labor warranty, but apparently the Freon leaked, and now they're saying the warranty doesn't cover it. The Freon doesn't cover the labor. Apparently, this will cost $2,000. What are the options? $2,000?
Yeah. So, I mean, look, the good news is that you have installed it with Home Depot. So, you do have an escalation way that you could go with this. I don't recommend that you call maybe right away the installer. I would go straight to Home Depot customer service and make a complaint. I don't believe it should not be covered. That is
because if it leaked, it was faulty, no?
It was a faulty installation, and faulty installation should be covered under labor. So maybe the manufacturer would not cover it because it's not their problem. It's the installer's problem.
So the installer made the mistake.
So I would 100% escalate it. I don't think that's fair at all.
$2,000?
$2,000 is a lot of money. And, you know, it's not through the fault of the homeowner. You've done everything right. You did not install this yourself. You had someone install it. It should not leak that fast. So there was definitely, it could have also been a mistake from day one that just got worse with time. So I would
start with Home Depot.
I would start with Home Depot. I mean, you could have that conversation with the installer. They do have a good escalation department. We do some work with them in our Ontario division, and we do actually a lot of their jobs and corrective services as well. And I find that they have a very proactive team there. I don't know in Quebec how it is now, but I know in Ontario it's not bad at all.
Okay, so I hope that helps you up. Start with Home Depot and go from there. 514-790-0800.
If she doesn't get anywhere, let her reach out for me, you know, maybe off air, and I'll see what I could do for her through my Home Depot
Your connections. Yeah. Let me tell you something. Walter knows people who know people.
You make it sound very dangerous.
514-790-0800. Call us. Let us know what your questions are for Walter Essie. Mark is on the line. And Walter, apparently Mark has some tips he would like to share. Mark, can you hear us?
I can.
Take it away.
So as far as leaving your home, I used to take care of a snowbird's home. And it was right next door, so I bought this little thermostat that you plug into the wall, and then you plug a lamp into it on the bottom of it, and then you set your thermostat in your house for, say, 60, and you set this for 55, And when the temperature went down, the lamp would come on. So I didn't have to go physically go into the house. I could just look from my house and see that the lamp, I put it like upstairs where the
light. That's so cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And that, I've used it many times for that. And then the person this morning for the sewer system, can't he just flush his toilet bowl like quite a few times and run his water to fill up his tank?
Walter?
I mean, yeah, that's a possibility. I just don't understand why the job was not done properly from the get-go.
I mean, if they pump the stuff back in, they're going to pump some solids back in, and then he would have more solids in his tank. So they took the solids and the water all out. I mean, I don't see how they could filter in the truck and put it back in without solids in it. So if he just flushes his toilet, he just doesn't want his tank to collapse. A metal one could collapse.
Correct.
If he just flushes his toilet and runs his water, how many gallons do you get out of a toilet when you flush? How many gallons?
Well, depending on the type of toilet you have, right?
You have
eco toilets, right, and you have regular toilets, and you know. I mean, it is one possibility. My only worry with him is, you know, if they send an inexperienced team and from the get-go, maybe they should send someone else just to re-inspect the work that was done so he doesn't have any problems. I would keep it lodged in as a complaint anyways. The other thing I want to talk about, Mark, is that your idea with the lamp is great. The only issue that you have with frozen pipes is typically they happen within a wall cavity that have nothing to do with the internal temperature necessarily of the home. It is a pipe on an exterior wall that just having a very cold draft from the outside due to mortar deterioration or some type of an air leak. And when that freezes, it doesn't mean necessarily that your furnace is not working or anything of that nature. It typically happens more often than not just because they place that water pipe in the wrong place and it just froze with time. So just as a cautionary measure, that's great to know if the heater is not working. But as far as frozen pipes, they typically happen in hidden places. And, and you just don't know about them, unfortunately.
Mark, thank you so much for your call and for those tips. Lynn from the text line, Lynn, who sent us a beautiful but lengthy text message, has called in. Lynn, can you hear us?
Hi.
Yes, take it away. Take it away.
Okay. I'm in an 8-unit building, and I live in the semi-basement. And at the back of the building, me and my neighbor have a drain. So when we had that big, huge, massive storm, it was like my bedroom in the back, the closet, started to fill up with water. And in that closet is a hot water tank and I think the backup valve. And then the next room is a bathroom. The shower just started to fill up with water. The toilet started to gurgle. And then into the kitchen sink started to bubble up a bit. And then thankfully the rain stopped. And so I just like cleaned up the closet. And in the living room too, there's like this square on the floor that when I moved in, they said it was a drain. But it's kind of like screwed shut, so I was kind of curious to look into it. But for the next storm, the major storm that we had, I ended up putting a big, huge barrel on the balcony, and that filled up with water, and then I didn't have problems inside the place. And I guess the water goes from the back balcony under the place to catch the drains on Notre Dame on the front. So my question...
Yeah, go ahead, Lynn, with a question.
Okay, the question is, maybe describe what happened and what's going on.
Sorry, go ahead.
I think she wants to know why the water was filling up.
Oh, so, I mean, you probably had a sewer backup. That's what you had. As soon as your drain started backing up, that means you probably don't have a backflow valve or you don't have a functioning backflow valve. Most people that have backflow valve, unfortunately, they don't maintain them. So the clapet or the flap usually either stuck open or stuck in half open position because of lack of maintenance. We have to understand that these springs have to be maintained. You have to keep them lubricated at least once a year to make sure they're functioning well. So, solution for you, instead of putting barrels and trying to do the water management yourself, because that's really a band-aid, I would speak, especially that you are a part of a condo complex, that meaning everybody should be sharing the cost. You would have to install the backwater valve, at least on the main. And that's a conversation you should have with your syndicate, because everybody should pitch in to that cost. That's number one. Number two, if you do have it, make sure that they would pay for a plumber to come and have it inspected, have it cleaned, and have it maintained. And what I would even go further, if you don't want to do it yourself, they could show you how to do it, but if you don't want to do it yourself, maybe you should have a yearly contract with a plumber that he maintains it on a regular basis. That's one thing. The other thing, that if you have a pushback from the syndicate, fortunately for you, a lot of municipalities now and a lot of insurance companies are asking for it and making it as a condition in certain cases to insure your basements. So that could be your angle there. And honestly, that will be the way I would go. I would not look for any shortcut solution there.
All right, Lynn, thank you so much. I hope that helps you. And again, better than the bucket. Okay, 514-790-0800. Keep those calls coming in.
Use a barrel.
A barrel. Thank you, Walter. Keep those calls coming in. You're listening to The Home Improvement Show. This is The Home Improvement Show, and we're giggling because, oh boy, the things that Walter and I talk about during break, not suitable for other audience. No, we're having a great time. 514-780-0800. Keep those calls coming in. Let's see who's been waiting. Roman. Roman has been on the line. Roman has a question about changing the thermopump. Take it away, Roman.
Thank you very much. I like my name too. Thank you. You're very kind. I like your program. I got a question about furnace and thermopump. I am about to change my thermopump because it became very, very noisy and has 13 years or so. So I was told that it is about to time to change it for the new one. And there was one technician from a very, very well-known company. He was very well prepared. He did a very nice presentation. And he told me that, there is the option that I can take thermopump, which is outside unit, and the furnace, only one piece might be changed at the same time. And what he said, that this is the cheapest option, and I will have some kind of refund from Hydro-Québec, about $2,500. Is it still valid that Hydro-Québec will support financially their clients with this kind of refund? Is it true?
There are still subventions from Hydro-Québec. So the kind of conversation I would have with that gentleman also is, if you were to also update your furnace, what would be that subvention? Because sometimes it's actually worth it that you change both, depending on how much money you get back from Hydro-Québec. One of the things that I want you to be most careful about when you change just the heat pump is that if the heat pump and the furnace are going to be compatible with each other. Typically speaking, I always try to say, if you can go with the same brand, is better. And just ensure that you have that conversation with the tech that they are actually compatible. As far as the Hydro-Québec, it's still, as far as I know, it's still in effect. And you might get more money if you also change the furnace. I don't know how old is your furnace right now. Is it the same?
Yeah, it's the same. It's about 13 years.
Okay. So the furnace might not be time to change, especially if it's electric. They last a long time. And to be quite frank with you, if you have something that is compatible, the new heat pumps, they work up to minus 30. So your furnace is going to be secondary unit at this point.
Thank you very much. So because he showed me three options. first, as we discuss right now, second, furnace and thermopump, and the third one, he proposed to me, and the bigger subvention, a huge unit with the, some kind of hot stone inside, but it take very much space in my garage. So I and the subvention from Hydro-Québec with this unit is the best.
Yes, but be careful, Roman. The main issue that you might have with a bigger unit, with bigger horsepower, is the bigger tonnage, I should say, would be the size of your ducts. It is a common mistake that a ventilation specialist will increase the tonnage of your unit, not taking in consideration the size of your ducts, and that might cause you secondary problems as far as noise is concerned and vibrations and everything else. So I would be very careful with that particular point.
Thank you for your call, Roman. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you guys. Thank you very much for your help.
Thanks. Okay, we have time for Anna now. Anna is the one who sent us the question about the Home Depot.
Oh.
Anna, can you hear us?
Yes.
Anna, we have time for your... we do have time. Go ahead, Anna. Take it away.
Okay, I didn't want to take your air time.
No. We happily give it.
Because Walter recommended that I get to Home Depot. But in the meantime, I already paid for that diagnostic visit, mm-hmm. and they're coming back on Monday to put Freon in. And considering the temperature outside, I cannot really wait
So, I mean, what you could do if it's absolutely necessary and you can't function on the furnace end of things, so you go with emergency heat and you get the furnace to kick in.
And my hydro bill will be like...
Correct, but I don't think your hydro bill is going to be $2,000 worth. But having said that, you could always pay and contest. It's a harder sale afterwards to get reimbursed, but that's one other solution, is you pay, but you write them an email, you're saying, I'm paying this bill because gave me no choice, but I contest your findings and blah, blah, blah. And then you escalate, you keep your receipt, you escalate back to Home Depot, and you try to get them to reverse the charges. That's another way of getting it done.
Okay, but do I get to the company that actually did installation or directly with Home Depot?
You've contracted with Home Depot, so you can go directly after Home Depot in this case.
What's the best way? Like, do I call them? Is there...
Start the conversation with the company. I have a feeling they're going to push back. Uh-huh. That's going to be the first thing. And then if they do, tell them I'm going to escalate this to Home Depot, and then you can have the conversation with the head of the installation department in Home Depot, customer service. You try to escalate it to many different levels. So if you the more pushback you have, just go higher up and higher up and higher up, and eventually you'll get an ear that will listen to you.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your call, Anna, and good luck with the rest of it. We want to thank all of the listeners and all of the texters that came in and tried to reach out to Walter. There's some more people, but don't worry. We're back next Saturday. If you didn't get Walter this Saturday, we are back next Saturday. This was the Home Improvement Show. Walter, thank you.
Thank you.
I'll see you next Saturday.
Absolutely.